Shavua Tov, Gutevach. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer, Brooklyn, New York. Okay, tonight I would like to share a little bit regarding this morning's Sedra and Truma and make a brief comment regarding Purim. So let's begin with the Parsha. It's interesting to note that at the beginning of the Sedra, the Torah points, the Torah lists the building blocks for the items that were going to be collected and used in the building of the Mishkan. And they include Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, lots of other wonderful things, Elim Adamim, Oros Techashim, wood. And then on this list of 15 items, there are two other items mentioned. Shemen Lama'or, Bisamim L'Shemen HaMishcha V'Lechtores HaSamim. This is oil for the lamp, for the light, oil for the menorah. Some Mefarshim suggest that there's an implicit understanding that it is also Shemen for the Shemen HaMishcha, for the anointing oil that was used in the Mishkan, as well as Bisamim, the fragrances for the Ketores HaSamim. Okay. So the problem here in the Psukim is that clearly all the items on the list are meant to be, are understood as building blocks for the Mishkan. And if that is in fact the case, that these are all building blocks of the Mishkan, what is Shemen Lama'or and Besamim L'Ketores HaSamim doing there? Shemen oil is not a building block of the Mishkan. It's not wood. It's not copper. It's not silver. It's not anything. It's not the wool. It's not anything which is used for the building of the Mishkan. It's used in service of the avoda, which is done in the Mishkan. Similarly, that's true with the besamim, the fragrances as well. The besamim are not they're not part of the building blocks of the Mishkan. The besamim are part of what is used in the Mishkan in the service of the avoda. So it seems quite odd that these items would be listed in this list. They seem to be entirely out of place. Indeed, the Chizkuni tells us. The Chizkuni writes that the Shemen Lama'or and the besamim, as well as the general ideas in the Parshir, Kol Inyanei HaParsha MiTikunei HaBinyan. This is all about building the Mishkan. So how can you put the oil and the fragrance in a list of things that are being used for the building of the Mishkan? It's not like we put the animals, we list the animals that are going to be used in the sacrifices, or the wine or the flour that's going to be used in the various minchas and karbanos. So what is it about the Shemen LaMishcha and the Shemen LaMa'or and the Besamim LaMishcha L'Ketores HaSamim? So there are a couple of approaches to this. The Chizkuni himself takes a stab at it. But there are three basic interpretations here, or explanations. One is regarding the Shemen. So the Shemen is used, the Shemen HaMishcha is used to inaugurate the use of the Mikdash. So to say that the Shemen is just simply facilitating is not really accurate. The Shemen is really fundamental and it's critical, because without it, it is not made ready for use. And similarly, the Ketores. The Ketores is also necessary for the functioning of the Mikdash, for the functioning and for the bringing down of the Shekhinah and the purpose of the divine presence. It's critical. It's fundamental. However, at the end of the day, the Shemen still, even though it's fundamental and it's important, it seems to still be, at the end of the day, ancillary. It seems to be facilitating, not a building block of the Mishkan. There's another approach here, and that is that the Besamim and the Shemen, Lama'ar, are there to bring light to the palace of the king and fragrance to the palace of the king. In days of old, that's exactly what the palaces of royalty were. They always had light lit, and when the king came in, the monarch, the royalty arrived, there was light in the hallways, light in the halls, and there was fragrance in the home. That is the definition of the palace of a king. And if that is the case for a melech basar v'tam, for a human king of flesh and blood, kal v'chomer, most certainly it is the case for melech malchei hamelachim, the king of all kings. In essence, what this is saying is that shemen and besamim are actually definitional to the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is the palace of the Ribbono Shel Olam, melech malchei hamelachim. And that's the definition of a palace, of a royal palace. It's not just facilitating the avodah, it defines the place. And therefore, if there is no shemen lamaor, or besamim, liktaris hasamim, this is not just not a mishkan without light and without fragrance. This is not a mishkan at all. It's the definition of the place. And therefore, it does demand and it does justify it being included in this list of the building blocks. But let's take it yet to a deeper level. And I found this approach to be the most compelling. When we say that the light and the fragrance is definitional to the place, and it is what creates the makom to be a mishkan, it's really saying something deeper than that. Light and fragrance create an atmosphere. They create an ambiance. And this is an idea which I'm not the first to have said it, and I wish I could say it b'shem Omro, but it's been said before. Light and fragrance create an atmosphere, an ambiance. And that's not ancillary to the experience. It's critical and fundamental and definitional to the experience. Now let's look at just regular life for a second. If you take a steak and you crush it into a pill and you sell a bottle of steak pills, you might get everything that's in the steak, but it's not a steak. It's just not. You don't have the taste, you don't have the fragrance, you don't have the smell, you don't have the experience, it's just not eating a steak. You might have everything in the steak, but it's a pill steak, it's not a steak. Or looking at it a little bit more deeply, if you have several people who live in a house, and they're biologically related to one another, but they have nothing to do with one another, they don't talk to each other, they don't relate to each other, can you call that a family? Well, maybe on some technical level it's a family, but people who are biologically related to each other, sharing a space that have no interaction and there's no dynamic between the people, that's not a family. The atmosphere is what creates that definition, that family unit. Or if you have a family that is a sad, that the atmosphere is a sad atmosphere, one where there's a joyous dynamic. So these are not just, a family. It is an entirely different experience. It's an entirely different definition of what it means to be a family. The atmosphere defines the place. It defines the experience. Even in, again, just a secular example here, in hospital recovery. It used to be that in the good old days or the bad old days, you went to a hospital, God forbid, so it was dingy lighting and gray walls, and you were there, and a person was there in order to get medicine, in order to get treatment. But somewhere along the way, the medical experts realized that having a nice room with some color on the walls and open big windows that let sunlight in, that creates an atmosphere that aids and abets and is critical and fundamental to a speedy recovery. So atmosphere, the shemen la mishcha, the shemen la ma'or, the besamim lektoris hasamim, this is not just ancillary to the mishkan. This is the definition of the mishkan. It's the atmosphere which creates the mishkan. And it is that atmosphere which enables this intimate relationship between the divine, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Bnei Yisrael. So if the Mishkan is the paradigm, the model for Avodas Hashem, what we're learning here is Avodas Hashem cannot be a dry, technical performance of mitzvahs. You need an atmosphere, a light, a fragrance, a shemen, and a besamim. That's what helps to provide the geshmak, the joy, the life, the love of Avodas Hashem. And it's what enables a successful transfer of the Mesorah from one generation to the next. And it is also what enables every individual to have a vibrant Avodas Hashem, one which calls us day after day after day to continue and to look forward and to pine and to strive and to desire all the rights and responsibilities and obligations of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Shemen la ma'or, b'samim l'ktaras hasamim. This is not just helping, it's critical, it's fundamental, it's part and parcel of what Avodas Hashem is about. You know, just take a Mishkan and a shul, and let's make the comparison as straight as possible. You can have one shul that has four walls and a ceiling and an Aron Kodesh and a bima in the middle. And that's fine, and a person can daven there. But if there's a qualitatively different experience, a shul that has a beautiful Aron Kodesh and beautiful walls and beautiful chairs and beautiful mantel on the Sifrei Torah and a beautiful amud and a beautiful beam and a beautiful lighting, it's not just helping our davening, it transforms the entire experience. And just as it is in a shul and a sort of technical avodas Hashem, that is true with every single mitzvah. It's true with our experience of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. To be an Eved Hashem without Shemen Lama'ar and without Besamim Lamishcha, Uvilektoris Hasamim, it's something missing. There's just something missing. And at some point, it will catch up to us. The Gemara in Megillah says that one should learn Torah with a trup, with a tune, and we should learn with Shnayos, with a niggun. Why? And the Gemara goes on to say that someone who fails to do so, who learns Torah Shebichtav without a niggun and learns Torah Sheba'al Peh without a niggun, the Gemara describes such an individual in pretty awful terms. Such Torah will not last. Really? So terrible not to learn Torah with a niggun? Well, from one perspective, yes, because Torah without a song, Torah without a melody, Torah without the atmosphere of Shem, of Besamim and Shem and Lama'or, it's just dry. There's just something missing, and it's hard to imagine it lasting. This is not just ancillary to our Avodas Hashem. It's critical. It's fundamental. The Mishkan just is not a Mishkan without the oil of light and the fragrance and the aroma that makes the Mishkan come alive. One of the ways in which we create an atmosphere, a Shemen Lama'ar and a Besamim atmosphere in our Avodas Hashem, are all the beautiful minhagim that have developed over the millennia. And one more recent of our minhagim is the minhag to wear masks and costumes on Purim. It's a holy and profound minhag. Some Reb Reuven Margolius suggests that the reason that we have this minhag is because, of course, there's a special mitzvah of tzedakah on Purim. And in order to preserve the identity of the recipient, and in order to hide the identity of the giver, and to make sure that the recipient, nobody knows who's a recipient and who's a giver, to preserve ultimately the dignity of the recipient, nobody should feel embarrassed extending their hand on this day. Everyone masks themselves. Everyone wears a costume. The depth of this minhag is to instill within each of us a sense of dignity, of conferring dignity on another human being, on another Jew. The Sefer HaTodah reminds us, says that our covering ourselves reminds us of the Hester Panim that we experienced on Purim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemed to have hid his face during this time. He seemed to have hid his presence from us during this time. And it felt like we were all alone, and we were down in the dumps, and we were desperate. But the purpose of our wearing these masks, these costumes, is to remind ourselves that even in the dark time, even in the dark times, even in the challenging times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is always guiding us. But perhaps the oldest reference to this minhag of masking ourselves on Purim comes from the Mahari Mintz, cited by the Raman Shulchan Aruch as well, and that is laharbos besimcha. It's simply to add joy and festivity to the day. Say it in another way, it's to create an atmosphere. Wearing masks and costumes on Purim is meant to create a festive atmosphere. It's the besamim l'shemen ha-mishcha, and it's the shemen l'ma'or. It creates the light and the fragrance, the ambiance, the atmosphere. That's not ancillary. It's critical. And that is what ultimately gives life and gives love and gives joy to the Avodas Hashem of every Eved Hashem. So on these days where we lay in Truma, and Be'ezras Hashem, in a few days we will experience the joy of Purim, let's recommit ourselves and be conscious and aware of the value of Shemen Lama'ar and Besamim in our lives, of creating an atmosphere in our homes and in our Avodas Hashem that aids and supports and builds a love of Torah, a love of Avodas Hashem. Let's recommit ourselves to that so we can truly build a Mishkan in our hearts and see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash in our day. Gudvach and a Freilichen Purim to all.